Thank you for joining us for another episode of No Tippy Tappy Football, brought to you by William Hill. And before we introduce our guest this week, we just want to say thank you for subscribing on YouTube. We are just about to hit 30,000. We'd love you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and get us to 30,000. We've been growing every single week. And also, Sam, did you know we've got our own Instagram now?
I didn't know.
They've done it without telling us. I only saw it, yeah.
All right, okay.
Came up, I was like, all right, that's me and Sam.
Well, you know how brilliant I am on Instagram, don't you?
We are on Instagram. I keep trying,
but I just can't grasp it. I'm sorry, I need 16 hours of telling me what to do and what to like and how to post and where to send it, share it, yeah, cut it. Crop it, who knows? I don't know. I haven't got a clue.
Thankfully, you're not in charge of our Instagram page.
I know, very good. I wish somebody got in control of mine like me.
If you want to do Sam's Instagram, do let us know. And in the meantime, subscribe to our No Tippy Tappy Football Instagram and you'll get all the lovely clips of the show. So, Sam, would you like to introduce our guest today?
Yes, it's a real pleasure to see this guest of ours again today. It was our time, obviously I've known him a long time in football, but obviously, our main time was the great escape at Sunderland. So it's a welcome, a big, big welcome to John O'Shea. John?
How are we doing?
Thanks very much for coming.
No, pleasure. Great to be here.
And he's been laughing at this title of mine, No Tippy Tappy Football, you know what I mean? So, you know, he knows I was a bit more basic when we were at Sunderland to get out of trouble. And it needed to be. I think John would agree with that. And in the end,
you did let us play very well, though.
I did,
when it's on, you can play.
That's right.
Look, delighted to be on. I'm looking forward to the next half hour, hour's conversation. I'm sure.
Never half an hour, John. Never half an hour.
Around half an hour.
Wait till we get to the quick fire questions.
That's half an hour.
Like, read. So, I think our time at Sunderland, what I liked the most about it, as tough as it was in the beginning, was the fans. There's a 42,500 average on a team that only got out the bottom four or five in the last week of the season, like you mean. So we were brilliant the last 11 games. We only lost one in the last 11. And then
unfortunately England came.
And then England came knocking on the door. Yeah, so it went the other way. But
no, because sorry for interrupting you. It's for me. It was like a perfect match at the time when you came along in that sense, because it was just what the club was looking for at the time. The match it was. And how you made look. That's something now I'm heading into in the sense of management coaching. And obviously, I'd played against some of Sam's teams and how they'd gone about it. But then when he came in and you see what he actually does to empower coaches, staff, people, it was I'm just picking him up quickly here before I start the battle.
It was
just great to see how he kind of went into a club and put his stamp on it. And the staff obviously still remember how good he was there in terms of the dinners they used to have and stuff like that. There's plenty of stories, but
do tell us a story, John.
Look, some of the younger staff couldn't keep up with him.
They were lucky they didn't have to stay up as long as I did before they went to bed, because in the younger days, if you're staying up with me, you can only go to bed after I've gone. I learned that one off Sam Ellis in the old days. So but that went down the window a long, long time ago. So it was sharing our time together after working particularly hard, which everybody does behind the scenes. And one of the lads had been, basically it was the night before the game. I always wanted to take the staff out to a nice restaurant, relax and enjoy a meal and then chill out on. But obviously the conversation would be all about the football, the club and what's happening. And we could share a lot together without being under pressure about doing our job. So.
Yeah, you'd had to work. The work was done, wasn't it? Yeah. Everything was done and everything was prepared. So it was a little couple of hours to switch off. And some of the younger staff members that were invited to some of the dinners kind of got caught a few times, didn't
they?
That's
right, they did.
John, from your time at Sunderland, I've been dying to ask somebody this. Sam on this show absolutely loves Jermaine Defoe. We had him as a guest. He mentions him many times. In any time we ask him about his best team ever, he's... Was it obvious at the time when you were there how much Sam was in love with Jermaine Defoe?
Anyone that was going to get calls said I was going to be in love with him. I know when you see Jermaine finishing, you'd realise why you'd be in love with him. Just in terms of the personality he has as well, but his actual technique of finishing, you knew if someone was going to get a chance, you wanted him to get it really, didn't you? Yeah. Because it was going to hit the target. He was going to go low into the corners and generally the keeper was going to struggle to stop it. So he was a really good player for Sunderland. It was just a shame we couldn't keep hold of him, obviously, at the time. But that was always going to be the case because when he got the number of goals he did, he was... And obviously
18, John, 18. Yeah. Kept us up that year. Yeah. And played up front on his own. When everybody told me he didn't want to, we didn't like it, or we just played to him the right way. We didn't play to him because he wasn't a hold-up player. We just got the ball in the box, and if you put the ball in the box for Jermaine Defoe, rarely does he miss. So he was one of the main reasons, because you look at the teams today, you look at Everton at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, they can have 20 shots against Man United and don't score. You know, and any team that has that many shots would be scoring two.
Or Liverpool,
two
or three. How many
or
shots?
Or Liverpool,
did they have
yeah. You know, I mean,
that'd be crazy.
Nunes had more shots than anybody else in the league.
Really?
And he's only scored 10.
Yeah.
So he's ahead of everybody else for shots. So yeah,
I went down to see them play against Atalanta last week. Yeah. And that was a
did
big
you enjoy
surprise,
it?
Like. No, I enjoyed watching Atalanta. But it was just crazy because they have been creating chances, as you said. They have been.
Well, against Man United, I watched the Man United game, and Liverpool missed so many chances. You know,
first half was incredible. Wasn't it? They should have been able to say, yeah. And that's coming back to haunt them now massively, isn't it? Because they would be probably they'd be still in the tie against Atalanta if they took the chances.
Well, Diaz and Salah missing them. You wouldn't expect to miss them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so. It's not just Nunes. No, people obviously keep picking on Nunes.
Yeah, they do, actually.
You know what I mean? Salah's been missing them. Diaz has been missing them too. Yeah. So it's been a combination.
But what a weekend for your team.
She says with a big smile on her face.
I wanted to bring it up before you did.
Okay. You know what I mean? I'm happy to talk about it.
I knew when I woke up Monday and I thought, podcast coming up Wednesday, Natalie will be like smiling away after an unexpected weekend that we saw. I mean, I sat downstairs and watched it all the way through, and all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and I couldn't quite believe what was happening. It was why everybody loves the Premier League.
It is, but when you think of one weekend, if Liverpool and Arsenal had been away from home,
you'd
be kind of thinking,
tricky
games, tricky games. But then they're at home, you're kind of like, wow, that's a big slip. And look, Villa are a good team, don't get me wrong, but I still thought Arsenal would get over the line, especially when Liverpool had got beat too. I was really surprised in that one.
They've got two things that Aston Villa haven't had for a while. World-class goalkeeper, the number of saves he made, and Ollie Watkins,
yeah.
And their two combinations are the start of building a good team, like you mean. So, you know, I look at Arsenal now and say, why did you let him go? You know, I mean, he was a World Cup winner, and he's like, he has to be the top goalkeeper. He has to be number one or number two in the Premier League, without a doubt.
He's up there. I actually played with Emmy. He came on loan to Reading.
All right.
Would you believe?
Okay, right.
Yeah, right. And he's obviously, he'd been a bit of a journey goalkeeper at Arsenal. I think he'd had a few loans and it wasn't working out for him. And I don't want to say we got all his confidence going at Reading or whatever, but no.
Why were you that bad?
Exactly. Look what we did for Pickford at Sunderland.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. More shots than anybody else, yeah.
You had to save him all. So, it's been incredible to see. You knew he was a talented keeper, but he just seemed to... It kind of happens with players, doesn't it? They go to a club and they get a bit of confidence going and they go, right, this I can do it. And he went back to Arsenal that time. And just, I think they won the cup that year, if I'm not mistaken. And they still sold him that. So I don't know whether there was an issue over contracts or whatever at the time, or why they let him go. As you said, you'd be scratching your head going, why did they? Why did they? And maybe they had deals lined up because they brought, was it Leno in that time?
Yeah.
They brought Leno in the time to kind of replace him.
But none of them, for me, in my opinion, none of the goalkeepers as good as he is.
Look, he's a bit of a personality about him too.
Well, even better. You mean the usual is a bit of a nutter job?
Yeah. A little bit.
Is that goalkeepers in general from your experience?
Without a doubt. But the best one I ever, look, Edwin. And Edwin was Edwin van der Sar was just so calm and calculated. Yeah. He was the exact opposite. So not all of them, definitely not. But
Pick was a bit that way, wasn't he?
Picks was, oh my God. But that brilliant, because you see, he has this kind of saying, what's the saying? Let's get the rave on. Get the rave on or something. You just know he loves his rave music and he's an absolute, great, what a lad. I love him to bits. But he's a
personality again, you see.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
You need a lot of that as a goalie, I think. But yeah. You know, personality.
Well, I've told you many times, we 6-year-old plays in goal. He loves Emmy, he loves him.
Okay,
yeah, I think it's part to do with the personality. It is the slight craziness.
He'll grow out of it,
yeah.
You're hoping him, won't you?
I don't know what he says about him, Sam.
Normally. Actually, they all want to start up front and then work their way back.
Yeah. It might be.
I want to be centre forward. I want to be centre forward, and then they go back. You know, so
he does think. And you know what he said to me the other day? He made a save in his game. His little under sixes game. They won 7-1. He made one really big save, and afterwards he said to me, he'd be contemplating it. He said, "Mummy, I think that save was similar to what Martinez made in the 2022 World Cup final." He's six. I was like, "All right, okay, well done." And he thought he should have got man of the match for the one save. So he's got confidence. He's got confidence.
What? Wow.
He likes his football, if he's talking like that. And he's a memory like that already. Wow.
Fantastic, isn't it?
Six. So, yes, we should say we're recording this. It's Wednesday morning. Manchester City play Real Madrid tonight. So when this goes out, we will already know the result. So either everybody will be laughing at me as I tell you that I'm really nervous, or everybody will be like, what was she nervous about? But we'll skip over it because no point, because by the time everybody listens to this, it'll already be done.
I think it'll just be a great game. That's what I think,
okay.
Anyway.
Okay, so in terms of you, John, recently, give us an update on your life, your career, what's been happening recently.
Recently, obviously, I took charge of the two Irish games, men's national team against Belgium and Switzerland, which was, incredible honour. An eye-opener too, to actually be the one who's picking the 11, picking the...
How long did that take then? Did you lose sleep?
A couple of sleepless nights. They were only friendlies as well.
I know,
it was brilliant. But that's something I've been working towards.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like the last few years, in terms of when I finished up playing at Reading, went in on the staff at Reading and then went up to Stoke and got involved with Ireland on the 21s, then went up with the senior team under Stephen Kenny. And obviously then got the chance to take these two games, you know. So it's been, I really enjoyed it. It's not obviously nice to leave players out of the team and what have you, but ultimately that's what you're there to do, isn't it? But you're planning to, we could have had two easier games in the sense of Belgium and Switzerland. But look, another day we beat Belgium, you know. Evan missed a penalty, he was unfortunate, he slipped just before. He made contact with the ball and we had some really good chances. Chidozie Ogbeni and Sammy Smodic, and on another day we could have won the game, you know. So, but what an amazing experience. And
I'm sure.
I don't know what's happening. They're still
you might be able
to update me.
So do you know if you are going to take charge of the friendlies in June? Have you been asked? Or
no,
do you know
look, it's
happening?
One of them. No, I was actually over doing something in Dublin yesterday for the Europa League, because obviously the final's in Dublin. I'm the ambassador for the tournament, and I was over there with the trophy. And obviously I had to speak to some of the press there yesterday too. No, there's no update really. We're just waiting to see. Hopefully it gets sorted quickly, because there's a bit of a knock-on effect in terms of... obviously, you're planning for two games.
Who's picking the new coach for?
Mark Canham would be he's the director of football, and he's been in the role a while now, and he's obviously been doing some of the looking at potential candidates or whatever. And
it's been a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, but look, to get it right.
And
look, obviously they've spoken to I think Lee Carsley was high on their list, but Lee's obviously happy with England's under 21s and doing what he's doing there. So Look, we'll see what happens. But
would you like it? Would you do it?
Yeah, look, as I've said, it's
of course
it's
you an, would.
It's a, yeah,
you've got to ask, Sam. I've got to ask. Yeah.
No. I took the two games. He'd snap the runs off.
I took the two games, and to manage your country is an amazing honour. Look, I've been involved with Irish team. I've been playing since I was 15 with Irish team. So I've been, and then coaching. So it's been over. Well, what? Doing a quick maths about 30 odd years, just less than 30 odd years involved with Ireland type of thing with coaching and playing. So that's enough experience for me as well, I think, to be involved in it. So, and obviously the last two games, and I've just really enjoyed it. But look, let's wait and see. Let's wait and see. That
he's been on this podcast now, though, Sam, so he's got a chance. We've got
that's true. We get
oh, is it?
Yeah, oh, John,
yeah, there's jobs pop up for a lot. Like, I mean,
ten guests have got managerial jobs.
10 guests, yeah. Okay. So there you go. Tomorrow, tomorrow you'll be managed. Well, I tried.
I know, but then this job came up. The two games
still
came up.
Fit it in, I'm sure you could.
if not Ireland, is managing or coaching? Is it what you want to do? Is that the future?
Yeah. Look, hopefully. Look, I've been involved. Obviously, we were in before Ireland. I was in with Wayne at Birmingham. And look, obviously, it didn't go to plan. In terms of chatting with Sam earlier, in terms of. Obviously, you have to get results, as you just mentioned there.
Yeah.
The short term, you need to get results in. But in the sense of what we were told, well, Wayne in particular, in the sense of it's a long-term plan, long-term project type of thing. But look, you see what's happened now, even though obviously Tony Mowbray's gone in. I went in, and obviously, hopefully, Tony's getting better soon. He's obviously had a few issues, but... And obviously, Gary Rowett is in there.
He was on this podcast the week before he got the
job. He was on
here
saying he'd had enough, like you mean. That's after Millwall.
Enjoying his break.
And now he's like...
Yeah, but obviously how the circumstances came about.
Had a couple of good results as well, didn't he?
Yeah, they won. I think they won the last one at home to Coventry. And look, when we were close to a couple of big wins against Ipswich, and I think it was Plymouth away, where I think it was Christian Bielik got sent off when he probably shouldn't have been sent off. You know, a couple of things, and if those results swing your way, it's a big momentum one, because it was just, and you go back to the timing of when you go into a job in terms like that, you probably, look, hindsight is great. I don't need to answer for Wayne. He's big and bold enough to do it himself. He's 38, 39. Yeah. He's had three managerial jobs. He's getting great experience, so I've no doubt when he does decide to get back in, that he'll be much better for it again, as you normally would be with the more experience you gain.
It's like anybody else. If he gets back in again, though, John, and we all know this, that one will need to be relatively successful to.
Yeah,
you know, I thought he did a brilliant job at Derby when. In the turmoil
and the
circumstances, like you mean, you know, then goes out to the States and then obviously comes back thinking with the support that's behind it, which is a great thing to feel that you know they want you, they're going to support you. This is
the
long term plan.
You hope so, but then you don't even get the January window. You don't get to bring
you know
what I mean?
January, so.
Sunderland, would you fancy that?
Ah, look, when you think of, I was there for 6-7 years, amazing.
Was it that long?
Yeah.
Steve Bruce brought you, didn't he?
Steve brought me up there. And
with Wes,
and Wes thought I was doing a runner on him, but we were just waiting on our first child to be born. I was like, I'm on the way, but just I'm waiting. For the first kid to be born here, can you give me a second? They thought, oh, he's definitely up to something. He's talking to someone else. He's talking to another team. But no, Alfie was 2 weeks, 2 weeks late. So, an amazing time. You know, as you mentioned, it's an amazing club, Sam.
It is.
It really is an amazing club. We had an amazing time up there. But it's a tricky one. Yeah, I'd love to be Sunderland manager. But I spoke to Tony Mowbray when he came into Birmingham. About the kind of the model that they have there at the minute in terms of they're really going young players. And you kind of look, but it's the thing for me is, yeah, it's a great idea on paper. And but
rarely works.
Look, the classic, rarely. You look at Bayern Leverkusen, Xavi Alonso, first thing he said was, right, I need experience. Goes and gets Xhaka. straight away. It's almost the first player that he thinks, right, I need that central general to take control of things for me.
Right.
And experience, what's Jack at 31, 32
yeah.
type of thing. And if so you kind of have to have a mix. Yeah, you need to get young players in, the right, and assets to sell on and all that idea. Yeah, it's brilliant, but the cutthroat nature of getting promoted, winning promotions, getting back to the Premier League, staying there and making your mark again, you need a blend of experience and youth.
Well, very best of luck with whatever job comes up next. Because one, you've been on here now, so one will come up, John, so soon. We mentioned Mandy.
Well, if it does, I'll be ringing him up saying, hey, well. And then again, we've helped again. That'd be great.
Well, we're getting a reputation and I like it. We mentioned City at the start now, but I'd like to kind of delve deeper into that, obviously, with your vast experience of winning the Premier League, which, by the way, we ask people to send in questions. We ask our listeners and our subscribers to send in questions
dangerous.
Every week.
This is always
no,
dangerous.
I feel like this is more of a dig at me because it's not a question, but Cathal tweeted us to say, fair play, John, no question marks hanging over your Premier League titles. Thanks, Cathal. Thanks for that.
He's going straight in.
Yeah.
Come on, give us a rundown. Give us a rundown.
Allegedly.
Give us a rundown of all what you've won.
Oh, wow.
Come on, a trophy cabinet at home. You know what I mean?
Five Premier Leagues, a few League Cups, FA Cup, the Champions League, World Club Championships. And don't forget the European Championships under 16 with the Republic of Ireland.
All right, okay. First, that was the first one of the first was
first
it?
Ones, yeah.
Yeah, that's
ones.
One you remember the most. As
yeah.
Well,
but did you win the Community Shield, John? That's the big one. The
Community Shield. Wow, oh, I'd say about three or four times. I think. I think so. Yeah, we'd lost, but we've lost. You remember the ones you lose? I definitely should have more FA Cups. We lost a few finals there. Arsenal on penalties. Chelsea. Oh, you remember them ones
more.
See
how jealous I am. Like,
no, look, we had an amazing run of it. When you think I was in United for 13 years, nine with the first team, and we won five Premier Leagues in those 9 years, kind of. So,
get a testimonial?
No, I'm laughing now. I had a year to run on my contract. And the boss
got rid of you.
He was like, no, you can stay, but you're maybe not going to play as much, you know, type of thing. And I was always like, okay.
Oh, he was gentle with you then.
No, look, he was, and I definitely, hindsight, you go back and say, should I have stayed possibly and kind of scrapped it out? And then you're out of contract type of thing. But look, I was always more of a, I was thinking, no, I want to go play. Sunderland had just finished 10th in the Premier League. And I thought, this is, Steve's got something. And then Steve gets the bullet then 3 months later. That was my first kind of...
Is that when Ellis took over? Just after? Because it was Quinny went, didn't he?
Yeah.
Which was, I thought was a bit of a mistake. Like, yeah. You mean, so.
I know. But look, that's just, it was like I was in a bit of a fantasy land. In United, and then welcome to reality of football, because it was like what 11 managers in 6-7 years then, you know, so that was me real football education in terms of coaching and management.
So you've been in a lot of dressing rooms at this point of the season where you are in the title hunt, where you're leading or where you're chasing. Obviously, given the weekend that we talked about at the start, Manchester City now very much in the driving seat, win all six games, win the league. What's it like in the dressing rooms at this point? What's it like I'm thinking like mentality-wise. Did you just feel, no, we are going to do this?
Yeah, you have a little bit of that, but ultimately because you're watching the results coming in, and you're waiting for kickoffs. You might have an early kickoff. You might be the late.
Yeah,
kickoff. There's all those kind of
murder
flips.
Some
and,
of them.
Yeah, the scenarios. You're coming back from the European games. You know the manager's going to have a little change in the team, one or two change, just to freshen it up because lads are shattered from games. There's that combination, but ultimately you just feel like there's been some games. I'm trying to remember over the years where you're losing. You're losing 1-0 with 10 minutes to go. You get a couple of late goals. The momentum you get like that, you get Bolton drawn with Chelsea 2-2. It was a 2-2, and it was
got
like
a case of wine, me.
Oh,
Sir Alex.
Yeah.
Oh,
big case of wine came like, over that
you,
week.
Like when you think of stuff, it's the celebrations on the bus when those results come through.
Yeah.
And the fee, that's brilliant. That. So I'm sure it was a nice case too.
It was. It was a nice case. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. No, but look, stuff like you get a feeling. And look, it's the more you obviously we've had the success, the amount of players that whether it be Giggsy, Scholesy, Butty, Roy, Gaz, Nev, all the lads, they've been there, done so many titles, and you're looking around going, ah, we're all right. We have Ronaldo, Rooney, Van Nistelrooy, Tevez, Berbatov. We're going to get a few goals here. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Was it interesting when Wes was on? It was interesting about how you were talking about. He didn't say this lightly, of course, but he said it was easier playing in a game sometimes than training at Man United because he were playing against
your own players.
Were so good. That when it came to Saturday, the players you were playing against weren't as good as the ones you were training against, and he said like it was like
that was the best preparation you had.
Best, you know what I mean? It really kept you. I'm talking your toes, didn't it? Like
if you knew, obviously, Wes, you would have mentioned it or known about it. Obviously, you had an international player generally fighting for your place.
That's right.
So if you didn't perform, you had a lad there waiting. Right, he's in, coming to get you. But some of the training games we had. Like Sky would have loved to have been there, if you know what I mean, in terms of and the manager knew then as well. He'd go, right, that's enough.
Yes.
Save that for Saturday. He's like, let us bubble along, and he'd let a few tackles go. He'd go, right, that's enough. But Walter Smith, God rest him. He was one that was brilliant. I'll never forget it. He just used to play on.
Yeah.
play on. No fouls. Ronaldo got a bit upset a few times. But no, look, that was brilliant because you knew everyone was just at the peak. Yeah, but you knew, right, everyone's ready to go. And whether it be the team that was starting or the team that was going to be starting the next game. And I think City, look, they have the experience now of doing it. And Arsenal, to be fair, I thought they would stay at it just because the goals they were getting, Sam. They were scoring lots of goals. And yes. I thought they haven't been doing that the last couple of seasons, but I thought they've been really getting a good few goals. And I thought they might just hang in there this year. But when you see the quality that the younger players they have, the more experience they are getting, I think they'll be knocking on the door again next season too.
In terms of your, obviously Manchester United, famous club. It's FA Cup semi-final weekend this weekend coming up. So City have Chelsea on Saturday, then United have Coventry on Sunday. I mean, simply how important is it that Manchester United win that game and then win the FA Cup?
Oh. Yeah, look, it's crucial. But first and foremost, take care of Coventry.
Yeah.
And then, look, whatever happens with City and Chelsea, at the minute you'd say City will be favourites to beat Chelsea, but... Chelsea with Cole Palmer. You can possibly see it, and I wouldn't mind seeing it, obviously. But look, Coventry have a bit of firepower. It's not going to be straightforward, and they'll be confident because look, United have been conceding shots, haven't they? That's been an issue for them, and but look, if United's
his old front, club if United, back,
yeah,
they,
like Mark Robbins, yeah. If United's front five, front four turn up. United win the game, I think. I think they'll have too much for Coventry's defenders, but they'll have to be on guard, United, because that's the one thing Coventry do have. They've probably slipped up a little bit themselves. I thought they were going to get the playoffs, I think they might just miss out. But they do have firepower. Sims, Adji Wright.
I'm surprised Everton let him go.
Yeah, I think they probably...
How many goals he scored for Coventry? I think he's
18, maybe. 18, isn't he? Yeah, something he's...
I know it's not the Premier League like me, but, you know, with them
I just thought he'd done well, hadn't he? He'd done well on his loans. Yeah. And sometimes you think, right, give the kid a chance now. Yeah. And maybe they felt they did, and he wasn't up to it, I don't know. But he's definitely done himself no harm. There'll be plenty of teams looking at him now, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
But look, he'll be looking at that, going to Wembley. What an occasion for Coventry too, but I'd be hopeful now United will get across the line and have a look. It's important for Ten Hag in terms of getting a trophy on the board again. If he can do that, he obviously got to the final last year. I don't know who beat them, but it's a case that it could be City again, more than likely. Let's be honest, it's not going to surprise us if they did beat Chelsea in the other semi-final. So let's wait and see.
Given that Van Gaal got sacked after he won the FA Cup, I mean, is it even enough for Ten Hag, do you think, if they win it?
Well, look, it's definitely going to do more favours to win it, you'd imagine so. And whatever happens, Sam will know a lot more than me in terms of when the new owners come in, our new part owners, and they're changing lots of things at the club in terms of recruitment, director of football, et cetera, that possibly managers change too. You've seen it a lot, but for me, I don't think that would be the definitive answer. I think he should probably stay on for a bit longer. But look, that's not the powers that be will decide. I think if he wins the FA Cup, it definitely helps.
It's not the biggest worry.
Okay.
No.
Man United. The biggest worry is the infrastructure behind the scenes, which is clearly what needs to get a huge amount better, particularly in recruitment terms, I mean, because you look at how many it happened at Everton and they've run out of money. You know what I mean? And look at the state of the club now, because all the changes and all the new style of recruitment, somebody out, somebody in, somebody out, instead of making sure that stayed, if you got it right, that stays no matter what or who coach comes in.
Yeah.
Because you've got it right, like you mean, and that's imperative, and that's great for you as the manager or the head coach now. You're not a manager anymore. Because it's there, and then you have your influence on that, and you then start working with that, and you know it's good enough. So then you start getting the right players in that earn the reputation that they have, where they come from, earn the money that they're given, and become effectively more valuable. So whenever somebody wants to overpay, you accept that you're going to lose them, but you're always after probably 20% more than your valuation.
Yeah.
You know, even Sir Alex let Ronaldo go for 80 million. Nobody thought that would happen, but it did, because 80 million was
at the time
just mega.
Yeah.
You know, so that is, you know, something that Man United have to achieve. I think before they look at the coach.
Yeah, I think just the recruitment is nail on the head. I think that's been the key bit. When you look at even, obviously, Liverpool they've got Richard Hughes in from Bournemouth, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of help them on the recruitment side of things. And there's teams always behind the scenes that are making moves. Yeah. But so United have kind of looked around at people to think.
Well, they wanted Dan Ashworth, didn't they?
Well, do they have him? Or do they not? You know, it's like,
I'm not sure they want to pay that much compensation, do they? Do they want to pay that much compensation?
I know, but you're hopeful that they can get these things done, because if that's the people they've targeted, you hope that they can get it done. I don't know, like that. Obviously, we know can't believe everything we read.
It's such a long process, though, John. And the slip up with anybody is that you have to take a step back and make the process. It was 5 years, 4 years at Bolton before I became comfortable with our recruitment policy.
Yeah.
The rest of the time prior to that was being a good risk taker by calculation of stats.
Stats.
Viewing what I see.
Your own,
you know what I mean? Which stood me in good stead at Sunderland by watching Y Scout and watching them on video and that, like, and going, yeah, well, that suit us, need that, what that. Because I have to make that quick decision. Bolton was like four or five years. Of he's in, he's out. And then we went, right, we've got him in Europe. Yeah, we've got him in England.
Yeah.
And we couldn't venture into South America because we didn't have the budget, like you mean, but we actually placed people living in Europe to start the process of saying, when they ring up, we'll say, we've already got a yes or no. So Brighton have got it. Brighton are probably the best example of a small club getting it right at the moment. who will continue
nailing
to get
it.
Looks like they'll continue to get it right as well by their process. And of course, you wouldn't be surprised if, you know, a few of those recruitment guys, they get poached out of Brighton.
Exactly. And that's where normally United, Manchester United, where it'd be getting the top fitness coach or the top whatever.
Yes, right, yeah.
Years ago, that's what they were able to do. And hopefully, look, the sooner they can get these people in, as you mentioned, because then it's their contacts or their recruitment ideas that process has to start happening. And hopefully it has been happening, and they're ahead on a few potential transfer targets, who knows?
Manchester United, obviously not the only club that have struggled with recruitment this season or over the last few seasons. I mean, Chelsea have bought so many players, but for them, one piece of great business has ended up being Cole Palmer. I mean, is he player of the season, Sam? I mean, he's definitely by the season. Is he up there? Should he be? Is he in contention? Do you think he's player of the season?
Well, I think that you have to look at the situation and say, if he was at Man City now doing that everybody'd say he had to be player of the season because Chelsea have had a bad season.
Yeah,
he probably won't get it, but he should. There's no doubt when somebody
you're a big fan.
with no experience.
Yeah.
Blitzes the Premier League, 20 goals, not a striker, midfield player, and assists. Coolest man on penalties.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Even when his mates are fighting over it.
Fighting over it, yeah.
It was brilliant. Still, just watching him just come in at the last minute. Just give me that, will you?
You've got young Conor Gallagher there. He's 22. Right, he's captain. I had Conor on loan at West Brom. Yeah, then obviously a really bad experience about losing every week, like I mean, which I think has helped him, in fact.
Develop,
you know what I mean? He goes in and goes, and I go, well done, son.
Yeah.
You got these big-time challenges.
Would have been interesting to see if it was nil-nil.
Yeah, I know,
In 90th minute.
Yeah, they wouldn't have won it, would they?
Yeah.
No, that's true, John.
But,
you're right.
Yeah. Getting back to Cole Palmer,
you'd
have to say, Sam has a good point in terms of if it was at City, and if City go on to obviously be successful and win a couple of trophies or whatever, it does highlight him even more. But you'd have to appreciate he's gone in. Look, he obviously played for City, so did have some experience and was in that kind of environment to showcase he had good ability because he was playing a few games and obviously scoring a few goals for them.
Help make him the player he is, obviously.
But then the fact that he's gone there, he's gone into Chelsea as a big signing, but ultimately he's been their best player and just gone, I'm your best player now. Simple as that. It's been very good to see. Never looks rushed, John, does he? No, and it's...
Always looks calm. The hectic way of the game, it's like, and here we go. Wow.
The first goal he got the other night where he did the build-up to it and the finish. That just summed him up.
And then the right footer.
Yeah. The confidence for it. Look, and people will probably argue, he's scored a few penalties.
Nine.
And,
got to score still, them, though.
You got to score them. Yep. You're a young kid putting yourself up there like that. He's been amazing. And look, it's just a shame he's not Irish, Sam.
That's very true,
John is ready.
Have you looked? Have you looked with grandma and granddad? Does it go back to grandma and granddad, does it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a nice problem for England to have.
Well, that moves us nicely on to England because that is indeed a problem that they have now because obviously you've got Phil Foden, Phil Foden, Jude Bellingham, Cole Palmer, Saka. What are you doing, Sam?
Declan Rice. The law player.
Rashford.
Rashford
in the mix.
Yeah. Marcus is going to be a test for him, isn't it? Who's in form and who's threatening some of the more regulars of England is a great right headache for Gareth. You can't ignore Palmer now. And you look at Gareth's history,
in the sense of loyalty with the players, which has gotten so well, but ultimately, if your player is staring in the face,
you're missing out. You're one of your favourites, Grealish.
Yeah, and he's been great for the last few games. He's got maybe 12 more games to go.
So. You know what I mean? So you've got the best. England's got the best. If Harry Kane stays fit, but even then you know you've got a couple of backups. You'll probably take Ivan Toney or Watkins.
Ollie Watkins, and
you know, so that's covered. You know, maybe defensively might be central defensively, maybe might be our weaker spot now because of the quality going forward, but certainly enough to win it.
Yeah, look, we played against France in the qualifying for the Euro, so I know firsthand in terms of how good the French squad are, not just the team. And look, and you go back to the think of that World Cup final,
and they've got the experience of winning it, haven't they? You know what I mean?
So that could be the turning point. Slightly edge France to be favourites, but as you mentioned, that England attacking options, it's a nice issue to have, definitely for Gareth.
I'm Scottish, John. Can you quickly tell me, do you think we've got a chance against Switzerland? Obviously, you've seen them up close.
Yeah, no, that you definitely will have a chance. We kind of got to grips with them much more in the second half when we played them, but very experienced team when you think of Shaqiri.
Good voice.
Gerard's ex-wife. Xhaka, the players that they have, real good experience in the team. But Scotland will definitely cause them problems, I've no doubt. But you don't underestimate them either, because they always qualify for tournaments. They always kind of get there, and they have surprised a few teams as well in tournaments too. But Scotland will be right in the mix against them, I've no doubt.
Yes, that's what we like, Sam.
Absolutely.
A couple of other quick bits about some of your former clubs. Are you keeping an eye on Reading at the minute? I mean, surviving after a points deduction, all the ownership issues.
Yeah, look, obviously I have. And no, obviously, Mark Bowen down there, obviously what they've been having to do. What's gone on in terms of, obviously still know some of the staff there too. Look, it's been terrible to see, because you think of the stadium they have, the training ground that they moved.
Great,
so, you know, it's
very,
really
very nice,
a really good setup in terms of, they always produce good kids from their academy. Obviously, Michael Elise was there not so long ago, doing brilliant at Palace now. Thankfully, looks like they've obviously survived, haven't they, this season quite comfortably enough. But
has the club been sold to a new owner or not?
I think there's potential. It seems to be close.
Great potential, really, isn't it?
Yeah, when you think of they're close to, obviously, the area where they are in terms of it. Look, it's attractive to lots of players as well in that sense too. So, but a really good. When you meet fans at outside the club or outside when you're going into the stadium and stuff, they're so passionate about it, and rightly so, because it's a big part of the community down there as well. And great, hopefully they do get that new owner across sooner rather than later, because the owner that was there previously, how this happens at club, Sam, I don't know, in terms of why they decide. Obviously they have frustrations themselves in terms of they're not happy. They thought they were going to get promoted. They were told they're going to get to the Premier League, no problem, you know, and they keep investing money, and next thing they just no, we're not going to do that anymore. And it's tough to see that happen in terms of how can clubs overcome that. I don't know. Checks have to be done beforehand, I suppose, in terms of making sure there's guarantees or something like that. I don't know how you kind of combat that.
Yeah, those guarantees have to be, obviously we've seen a lot of problems with more unscrupulous owners coming into buy football clubs, particularly Bury and Bolton nearly went under when they went under. I mean, Bury have only just bought the ground back and trying to work their way through the leagues. Bolton was only a couple of days off a very, very similar
scenario.
Outcome. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so without the right checks, without the right guarantees, the EFL and the Premier League can't allow a football club to be taken over. They really must be much more stringent than they have been, you know what I mean? So,
well, look, getting back to just quickly, fingers crossed they've kind of, hopefully they do get that new owner sorted, and they can just concentrate on, because they have a great academy down there as well, really good academy, and as I mentioned, producing good players, and hopefully that definitely continues.
Championship is so competitive. I mean, especially that bottom end of the Championship. You mentioned Sammy Smodics before in terms of playing for Ireland. 30 goals this season. I've watched Blackburn. I've covered Blackburn a few times this season, so I've seen him up close. Every time I go, he always scores one, two. Yeah. He's scoring all the time. How highly do you rate him? Where do you think his future lies?
Yeah, well, look, Sam mentioned it earlier. In terms of how much he enjoyed working with Jermaine Defoe, in the sense of, you know, that chances are going to come about.
Yes.
He's going to be in the right place. He's going to be, and Sammy, look, I'm not saying Sammy's good. He's not up to Jermaine's level yet, but scoring 30 goals is definitely helping you. But no, look, I think he just, obviously where Blackburn would be without him, can you imagine? He's a really, every level he's kind of gone up to, and he's worked his way up through his career, that he's took the challenge on, hasn't he? And he scored goals.
Definitely.
And he'll definitely be attracting, not that Blackburn fans would want to hear, but he'll have to be attracting attention when you score that amount of goals, you know. And but just long may it continue. And it was great that we were able to get him, obviously, to play recently as well against Belgium, his first start for Ireland too. So, look, well deserved, and hopefully there'll be more to come for him.
There's so few and far between for some reason, goal scorers.
Out and out goal scorers,
Well, I mean,
and he's comfortable. He can do centre forward, he can do off the left, off the right, in the 10, in behind the striker, you know. So he has that natural footballing brain as well to be in the right place at the right time, which is always very valuable.
So into the last bit now, this is our not so quick fire questions section. I mentioned that we always ask our viewers, our listeners, if they'd like to send a question for our guests, which you can do so on our Instagram now, on our Twitter, on our comment on the YouTube videos. You can message me. Loads of people mentioned this specific moment of your career. And I wonder if it sticks out at you. Now, on your Wikipedia...
He obviously knows which one it is.
Which moment do you think
it is? Come on, tell us.
I have a feeling it'll be about a nutmeg, possibly.
It is about a nutmeg. So your Wikipedia specifically says, he's proved...
I used to say a lot of things that Wikipedia page over the years, but anyway. Yeah.
07-08 season, he proved an important utility player during a European double, but more importantly, a legendary nutmeg on Luis Figo. Which one of those was the bigger achievement?
Oh, no, look, it's amazing, because even last year or 2 years ago, I did an advert over in Dublin for the Champions League, promotion type of thing. But that's what they wanted to talk. That was part of the advert.
Everything
that's
you want.
Right,
the Champions League. Just over a nutmeg. And that was 20 years ago, over 21 years ago now, or whatever.
He's got it home on tape.
On his phone every day.
It was fine. I was laughing. I certainly thought it's
showing the kids like
Dad.
No, this kind of strange memorabilia you get sent from our fans. There was a T-shirt sent to me, like, as well, but I've not made Luis Figo. This was going back, obviously, 20 years ago, a few months after the event.
Still wear it.
I don't think Luis Figo is too worried about it.
I would have gladly
have been megged by Figo 100 times, and we went on to win the game. That's what I've always said. It was that Real Madrid team that we played that year were a proper team. Hopefully this is kind of Madrid team that might turn up tonight. I know that's gone. It was a great thing to do as such, but it happens all the time in games, you see it. But I'm just laughing. I'm laughing about how much it's been immortalized over the years. It's quite funny, but no, I'll take winning trophies all day over a situation like that.
I say, wear the T-shirt, wear it every day. A nice, good quick fire one for you. Which former Manchester United teammate would you least like to be stuck in a lift with?
Oh, that's a bad one.
Yeah,
I'd refuse to answer that if I were you.
there'd be different reasons there. Oh, wow.
Have a few if you want.
Wouldn't like to be stuck in a lift with? I think probably... who can we say here? I don't want to... not that I'm stitching someone up here now, but... I'd be wanting someone, if I'm stuck in a lift, I want them to help me out a bit, wouldn't I? So I'd be like, but I wouldn't want a tattoo.
He's thinking hard.
Is this quickfire?
Oh, yeah, like quickfire.
What was the name that first came into your head that you stopped yourself saying?
That was very good, by the way. That was very good.
Oh, I can't say. I'm going to say Scholesy. Scholesy, just like, he'd be just chilling. He wouldn't help us out at all. He'd be like, someone will come and get us. Someone will come and help us out. So others, possibly Gaz Nev, I'd be thinking, where's my headphones? I'd hope I'd have my head, I'd be screaming and shouting, going, what's going on? Not those two, but two great lads as well.
Great, love that. Thank you. And finally, you've played left back, you've played right back, you've played centre back, you've played centre midfield, you've played up front, and you played as a goalkeeper. Which is the easiest position to play? And how did you end up in net in that game versus Spurs?
Tell us about your best save first. Yeah, tell us about you'll remember your best save.
One on one at Keno with Robbie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, little one on Robbie wasn't too happy.
Oh, but he wasn't.
Robbie loves
I'll remind
score.
Him of that then when I speak to him next.
One on, and we were going on international duty afterwards as well. So he wasn't too happy.
Oh, good.
But look, we were 4-0 up. I was clever enough thinking, well, we're 4-0 up with about 15 to go.
Oh, yeah.
Down at White Hart Lane. I think it'll be okay. Yeah. But
are you going off us, Michael?
No, Edwin. Edwin got a yay. Yeah. All the subs were on, and he, I think he busted, broke his nose. So Rio was going to go in goal. But then it was like, no, look, I'll go on a bit of Gaelic football. I'll be okay. So
did you get the gloves on?
Got the gloves on and flapped that a few, but thankfully kept a clean sheet.
Nice.
Made a good save at Robbie one on one. But I think my was there a favourite position?
Yeah, which one was your easiest or favourite?
Depending on it. Look, I love playing centre back in the sense that that's where I kind of grew up, but playing fullback at United was brilliant as well, because you got to join in attacking a lot of the time too. So I'd have to say right back or left back, no problem, mate.
Love that. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming on. It's been a real pleasure. Yep. I told you it wouldn't be half an hour.
No, pleasure.
Good luck with the future career. I hope you get the Ireland job, exactly. To be honest with you. I hope they show faith in you and go and do it.
Brilliant. Thank you.
I've got a reference.
There you go.
Thanks, Sam. Thank you as always. Yep. Hopefully,
looking forward to tonight.
Sam is going to the Real Madrid game tonight.
I am.
Enjoy. Hopefully, I enjoy.
My grandson's birthday today, 22. That's his treat.
Ah, amazing.
Man City versus Real Madrid. It couldn't be a better treat than that, could
there? Tell you what, you're getting spoiled, eh?
Yeah.
By the time you listen or watch this, hopefully you know
getting
I'm happy.
Getting spoiled watching Real Madrid.
Yeah. Thank you for watching another episode of No Tippy Tappy Football, brought to you by William Hill.